Well, good morning. Everybody doing all right? Good. Take your Bible this morning and turn with me to Ephesians 1. We haven't been in Ephesians for a while. A couple of weeks ago, we started talking about our response to this statement. I'll say it again in a different way. What I think about God in my heart is the most important thing about me. What I think about God in my heart is the most important thing about me. The reason being is that what I think about God shapes everything in my life, shapes every decision, shapes every choice, shapes every worldview, shapes every perspective. Everything about me is shaped. It comes out of what I think to be true about God. All of us, at some level or nothing or other, have a distorted view of what God is like. And whenever we talk about what we think about God, we're not talking about that theological premise that we know how to recite or that treatise that we know how to repeat or that statement of faith that we know how to remember. But what we're talking about is the choices that we make. Because the choices that we make reveal to us what we believe to be true about God at that moment. Now, we might look back and say, well, man, why did I make that choice? Why did I make that decision? Because I don't believe that. But the truth of the matter is the choice expressed what we believed. The rest was just mental assent. And so I might say God is love. I might say God is great. I might say God can take care of me. But whenever there is anxiety and stress and fear and frustration in my heart, and I make decisions out of that, at that point in my heart, I really don't believe that God is able to do that. I have to compensate for it. I have to do something different. And so what we believe to be true about God in our heart is the greatest thing there is about me because it shapes every aspect of my heart. And we know that all of us have, at some level, a distorted view of what God is like. We've looked at our life experiences, we've looked at our relationships, and we make decisions from time to time that don't reflect the true nature of what God is like. So all of us, in some area, need our perspective of God adjusted. When the fall came, not only was Adam's view of God distorted, because here he is running from God, the one that he's fellowshipped with, the one that he's had intimacy with. Now he's trying to hide from God. Now he's trying to justify himself. Now he's trying to blame Eve for his problems. And all of those things came out of that fall, and now he saw God in a different light. He wasn't someone that he could approach. He wasn't someone that he could fellowship with. He was someone that he needed to hide from. He was someone that he needed to be afraid of. That mindset is passed down from generation to generation from generation. So all of humanity at some level has this distorted view of what God is like. Well, how's that going to change? Well, we can change it by trying to tell ourselves, you know, something different. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. But the truth of the matter is what needs to change is what's in our heart about what we believe to be true about God. Well, how does that happen? How do we have that heart change? How do we have that perspective whenever the decision comes? And before I would act out of anxiety, or before I would act out of fear, now I act out of confidence of who God is. How does that happen? How does that change? Well, Paul understood that. In Ephesians chapter 1, he gives us insight into that. I want to just begin to read with you. There's so much. And, you know, as you know, let's just start in verse 9 because it's right here. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, which he works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. 13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. You came to know the reality of this promise, all right? And when you came to know the reality, the Holy Spirit sealed that inside of you, all right? You came to know the Lord. You met the Lord. And he goes on, who is given as a pledge for our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints. Look what he says. I have heard about your faith in Christ. And he says, I have heard about your love for the saints. You've come to realize how good God is. You've come to realize the provision that God has made for your sin and for your fallenness, and you've accepted that, you've received that, and I've heard about that. I've heard about your faith in Christ. I've heard about your love for the saints. And then he says, because of that, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And he says, here's what I'm praying. Now, bear in mind, this is who he's praying for. He's praying for these believers. He's praying for these that have come to know Christ. He's praying for these that have come to understand, at least in a small measure, this wonderful inheritance that God has for them. These are believers. These are children of God. Now, here's what he says. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Now look at that. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to believers. And he says, I am praying that the Holy Spirit will turn on the lights in you so that you will have a full knowledge, that there will be a revelation of wisdom and of knowledge of God. I want you to know God. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, he says, here's how it happens. It happens by revelation from the Holy Spirit. It means that the Holy Spirit turns on the light. It doesn't happen in our minds simply because we say we're not going to believe that anymore. It happens because there is a revelation that takes place, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to us what the Father is really like. Now, why would he say that? They were Christians, because he understood they needed greater revelation of what God was like. A real revelation, a real understanding of what the Father was like. Now notice he goes on. I pray that the eyes of your heart, he's talking about a heart issue here. He's not talking about just a mind issue. He's talking about that capacity for decisions, that capacity for choices that lies in all of us, our heart. He says, I pray that your heart, not just your mind, I pray that your heart would be enlightened. I pray that the lights would come on in your heart, that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Two things he says here. I pray that you will have revelation, that the lights will come on, that you will know who God is, and you will know who you are. Isn't that cool? We think we know who we are, but we don't really understand who we are based on who God says we are. We have a perception of ourselves. We have an idea about who we are. We have this personality. We have this identity that we adhere to. These guys had just met Christ. And he says, I pray that you would have a revelation of the Father, that you would have a revelation of who God is, and that you would have a revelation of who you are because of what God has done to you. Isn't that cool? Those two things, I pray you'd have a revelation about that. I pray the lights will come on and you'll stop seeing God out of this twisted view of what he's like. That you would stop seeing God out of this distorted perspective of what he's like. And that you would stop seeing yourself with all this distortion of who you are and what you are and what you're capable of and what you can do. And he says it happens by the revelation of God. The Holy Spirit, I pray that there's this revelation, that you will have this insight. The lights will come on, so to speak, and that you will see who God is and that you will see who you are in Christ. Which means there must be a personal interaction between myself and God. I don't have a revelation of God because God gives him a revelation of God. I don't get a revelation of God because he's over here having intimacy with God. I have a revelation of God because there's an intimacy in my life with God personally, and he reveals things about himself. It's not secondhand. It's not something we've heard. It's not something we were just embraced. It is something that happens in this intimacy with him, that in this time with him, this revelation takes place, in that God reveals to me personally what he's like, and that God reveals to me personally what I am and what I am like. There's the revelation. And it comes out of this intimacy that takes place with the Father. It comes out of this relationship that he talked about in the first part of this chapter. Well, how does that happen? What does this revelation thing look like? Well, let me show you how it has been. All right, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I'm giving you the introduction today. Okay? The introduction, and we'll cover the rest of it. Next week we've got that luncheon, but the next week that we'll cover back in it. But I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 1 and look in verse 1. He says, God, after he, what? After he what? Spoke. God spoke. Interesting concept, isn't it? God spoke. After he spoke, when, long ago, to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions, and in many ways. God used all kinds of ways, he says, to speak. He spoke through the prophets. He spoke to them through many different places and many different ways. That's how God did it previously, he says. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. Jesus is what God wants to say to the world about himself and about us. Jesus is what God wants to say to the world. He is the thought. He is the word. He is the revelation that God gave to the world as a whole. Here it is. You want to know what I'm like? I am speaking. Here I am. I am speaking. I'm not speaking through the prophets. I'm not speaking through the priest. I'm not speaking there. I am speaking through Christ. And he's the fullness. He is the revelation. He is the heir of all things through whom he also made the world. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. He spoke through Jesus. Now, in John chapter 1, he makes it a little more clear. He says, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Bible, the Pentateuch. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, what beginning? Doesn't matter. Pick a beginning. Before the beginning, before any beginning, there was the Word. Before the beginning, there was God speaking in a word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What was that Word? The Word was Jesus. If you want to know what God's saying, Jesus tells us what God is saying. If we want to know what God has to say today, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will be the one to tell us. Who brings that revelation? It's that Holy Spirit. It's the expression of Christ on the earth today. He's the one that speaks. He is the Word. See, a word is a capsulization of thought. You don't know what I'm thinking till I speak it. Now, wives, remember that. You don't know what your husband's thinking until he speaks. And husbands, you don't know what your wife is thinking until she speaks. We don't know what God's speaking until he speaks. We don't know what God is like until he speaks. But when God speaks, there's revelation of him. When God speaks, it's an expression of him. And every time God speaks, there is a part of him revealed in that speaking. That's cool, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He's talking about Christ, who he was. This is tough for some of us to grasp, that God still speaks. But listen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what Paul say? We're not like the Gentiles who have dumb idols or dumb gods. He didn't say deaf gods. He said dumb gods. A dumb god was a god that didn't speak. We have a speaking God. We have a God who is revealing himself. We have a God who is still giving revelation of himself, and he's still doing it through speaking. He's still revealing himself through what he says. Every time God tells us something, it is an expressive of who he is and what he's like. And how in the world am I going to change my view of God if all I'm going to do is focus on my brain? It won't happen. My view of God will change in my intimacy with him, and when he speaks to me, concerning my life, concerning my situation, then he expresses himself to me. And that's a revelation of him. And that's a revelation of who I am, and that's how I get to know him. Everything else is just intellectual, it's cerebral, it's just religious. God speaks to reveal what he is like. Ephesians 1:17. Look what he said. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. Now, here's what I want you to catch. We're just going to touch on it. The primary purpose in God speaking to his people is to express comfort, direction, and encouragement. We've made this thing about hearing from God. Well, we're looking for the lightning bolts and the thunder. And the truth of the matter is, when God speaks to our heart, it's usually in the expression of comfort. He's here to comfort us, guide us. He'll guide us into all truth, and he's here to encourage us. Now, wouldn't you love? I mean, life is hard. Is your life hard sometimes? Yeah, it gets hard, isn't it? It gets difficult. Tension, stress, things don't go the way you plan. Life is difficult sometimes. Life is hard sometimes. Wouldn't you love, in the middle of all that, to have a portion of courage dumped in your heart to be able to face the onslaught of the turmoil in your life? He comes to encourage. He comes to impart courage that we might face what we're dealing with. And that might happen. It might not happen. As long as I'm seeing him as this manipulative, angry ogre, that all he's going to do is criticize everything I'm doing, I'm going to have a difficult time believing that what God wants to say to me is going to be personal encouragement for what I'm going through. Because I just rule that out. Well, no, that's not how God speaks. God just, you know, God, he slaps you around. Comfort, guidance, encouragement. That's one of the ways you'll be able to recognize when God speaks to us. It will be an expression of Jesus. Jesus. It'll be an expression of comfort. It'll be an expression of direction, of guidance. It'll be an expression of encouragement. And it will impart courage to us to be able to face the onslaught that affects our lives that we deal with. But if our view of God is he's just angry all the time, he's just mad all the time, or if my view of God is he's just distant, or he's out there, or he's not interested in me, he's dealing with China, and he's dealing with Iran, and he's dealing with all of that, and he doesn't really have time to me, I'm not going to be able to recognize God when he speaks something to me personally. It's going to be more like, that's just me. Thank God, that ain't me. And I think it's important for us to understand how interested in us the Father is. You interested in your kids? It pales to the interest the Father has in you. You want to encourage your kids? It pales in comparison to the encouragement the Father wants to give to you. You want to guide your kids? Forget it. You want to guide your kids? It pales in comparison to the guidance that the Father has for us. You want to comfort your kids? It doesn't even hold a candle to the comfort the Father wants to give to us. Now, if we have this distorted view of the Father, it's not like God gets his feelings hurt and says, well, if you're going to think that about me, just forget it and walk off. It's not that perspective at all. It's our perspective that says, no, God can't be like that. He has to be like this. And the breakdown is in our view of him, not in his desire and his longing to reveal himself to us. And he does it as he speaks to us. Now, if we can ever get over this twisted thing that, well, if God speaks, that means it's, you know, I'm afraid that's going to be new revelation and then it's going to contradict the Bible. You get revelation like that, you let me know, okay? We'll help you work through that. That's such a cop-out from just listening and hearing. And we have a tendency to look for God in the thunder and in the lightning, and he's going to give me this revelation that's going to change the world and change Christianity. And we miss that still, quiet voice that wants to encourage you for your day and wants to comfort you in your pain and wants to guide you through the murkiness of the decision-making in your life. And we miss that. And I got to tell you, this is hard for me to get. This is hard for me to get. Because I've never had consistent one-on-one encouragement and comfort. From my immediate blood family. And I don't know what that's like. And so I'm thinking, if God's going to show up, he's going to say, well, you did this wrong. And this, you need to stop doing that, and you need to quit that. And until you do, I'm not going to talk to you. And so it's very difficult for me to get my heart around the fact that God wants to say to me daily sometimes, you're doing a good job. I like hanging out with you. It's okay. It's going to be all right. It's hard for me to get my mind around that. I have to deal with that with my own heart. Hearing God to share with you, that's a whole different story because it's impersonal sometimes. But when he's talking to me, that's hard for me to get my heart around. That he wants to tell me words of encouragement, that he wants to tell me words of comfort, that he wants to tell me specifically words of guidance. And when I say words of guidance, I'm not talking about a 20-year plan or a plan for your ministry. I'm talking about just what to do right now. What to do in this situation. How to respond to this person. How to respond to this difficult relationship. I'm talking about that when it comes to guidance. We miss that because we're looking for this big thing out there that somebody's going to say, wow, that's great. Can we write a book about that? So when he comes, when he speaks, he wants to speak to us with comfort. He wants to speak to us with guidance. He wants to speak to us with encouragement. And if our view of him doesn't make room for that, we're going to miss a lot of that in our life. And if we don't make room for that, valuing being with him will be non-existent. Who wants to be around somebody all the time that's critical of everything you do? Who wants to be around somebody all the time that just tells you how stupid you are and how worthless you are and how you fail so many times, and how he's going to judge you whenever you get there? Who wants to be around that? I don't want to be around that. And if that's what God is like, I understand not wanting to be around him. But I'm here to say to you this morning, he is not like that. When he speaks to you, it's going to bring comfort, it's going to bring guidance, and it's going to bring encouragement. It's going to impart courage. Not that you have to gin up and work up and make it, it just comes from your heart. To be able to withstand and to walk through whatever it is you're going through in your life. And it's much, much simpler than we ever imagined it being. We hold up the prophets and there's a place for them. We hold up these great revelations and there's a place for them. I want to tell you something. That's a small place. The large place is right here in you. And in you, and in you, and in you, and in you, and in me, through the body. That's where the place is, primarily, and what God wants to say through us. So as we begin this journey, you're saying, you're talking about hearing God again, aren't you? Well, yeah. How long are you going to do that? Till you hear God. Okay? All right? But I want so desperately to clarify and bring revelation in our hearts about what it means to hear the Lord. It's just not this religious stuff that we think it is. It's comfort, it's guidance, and it's encouragement. How many of you could use some encouragement? Yeah, I could use a dose of courage to face what's coming, to face what I deal with. Okay, where's that going to come from? In my greater understanding of Him, as the Spirit of God gives me a revelation of who He is and who I am from His voice, directly from Him. Not because anybody tells me that, not because I figured it out in my brain, but because something went off in my heart when God spoke to me, and it changed my decision maker. Did it change it permanently? Well, it changed it for this decision. And I'll probably need more revelation for the next decision. See? But I know where to go to get it. I know where to go to receive it. So my encouragement to you is to ask the Father this week, what about you do you want to tell me? And what about me do you want to tell me? All right? We're just going to start there. What about me? What about you do you want to tell me? What do you want to tell me about you? Now, listen, trust me. You don't know everything about God. You may have checked every box on your church envelope for as long as you had an envelope, that you brought your Bible, that you did your daily devotional. You may have batted 1,000, but you don't know everything there is to know about God. Matter of fact, a lot of what we think we know about God, we don't know. And ask Him, what do you want to tell me about me? What do you want to say about me? I know me. Nah, you don't know you. You don't know you like God knows you. And if you don't know what God knows about you, you don't know you. Because what He knows about you is true. What I know about me is usually my conclusion and my speculation based on a lot of other things. What do you want to tell me about you? What do you want to tell me about me? All right, any questions?